Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 13th. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Recently, ERISA invited experienced geospatial professionals to review and comment on a draft Geospatial Management Competency Model, or GMCM. What is the GMCM? Do we need a competency model for managers? And what skill would you like to see your manager work on that perhaps they are sorely lacking today? We'll discuss that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. Is your GIS at a gridlock, limited to a few, contained and locked away? Between those working with a heavy and hard-to-use desktop GIS and a static, lightweight, browser-based GIS exists a large potential user base. GeoMedia Smart Client makes your organization progressive, engaging individuals and departments to collectively ignite your dynamic GIS. Geographic changes are easily and interactively implemented across an enterprise-wide smart GIS, seamlessly integrating into configurable workflows. Users leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools, streamlining their processes and honing their expertise to build a smart GIS. To learn more, visit www.intergraph.com/geospatial.
Well, first I want to ask the question, what is the Geospatial Management Competency Model? Well, according to ERISA, it specifies 74 essential competencies and 17 competency areas that characterize the work of most successful managers in the geospatial industry. So these skills would include something like team management, relationship management, business development, leadership. And a specific skill would be such as apply sound decision-making practices, acknowledge and encourage exceptional achievement, define geospatial work functions, and assign appropriate staff. So the GMCM seeks to distill a concise list that is widely applicable and readily adaptable to evolving industry needs, so says ERISA. Now, ERISA formed a task force so that they could prepare a draft of the GMCM for the U.S. Department of Labor's Employment and Training Administration, affectionately known as DOLETA. Reviews will be reported to the task force and DOLETA and will be used to refine and validate the GMCM. Now, David DiBiase of Esri is leading the task force, and you may remember that DiBiase led the task force in 2010 that completed the Geospatial Technology Competency Model, the GTCM, that was also adopted by the Department of Labor and now stands to benefit the community by providing a foundation for new exams for GIS certification, curriculum development, and more. Okay, so the Department of Labor has defined these competency models as guides for individual professional development. Now, after reviewing the document and taking the online questionnaire that I would advise all of you to do, and we will put a link to that in the show notes, two things struck me. One, I wondered if something like this was needed. And two, it is a very comprehensive profile of management skills. And, you know, we could argue whether something like this will actually be used, but having been critical of geospatial professional organizations as we have in the most recent past, I think this is exactly the kind of thing ERISA ought to be involved in. And I'd go so far as to say that other geoprofessional organizations and societies should be involved and contribute to the GMCM as well. So now I'm going to have to add a caveat here. So if there was this was a legal proceeding, I may have to recuse myself because I was involved in the development of the GTCM and found that to be a worthwhile endeavor. And before I get into what I would suggest as changes to this document, Adina, I asked you to do some homework. So I'd like to get your initial reaction to this endeavor because, and I'll put you on the spot, you were not enamored with the topic today. So let me get a clear understanding of your reaction to the Geospatial Management Competency Model.
My reaction to the topic had more to do with, I just felt a bit overwhelmed by trying to digest the GCTM and figure out what that was and help explain it, and now I'm being asked to digest yet another one, and it tends to make your brain freeze up. I mean, this stuff is hard to think about. It's hard. I think is why I react to it as I do. It's hard to think about. It's hard to think about the future and what skills and what specific tasks should be on the list. It's just hard. Now, having said all that, I did go and read the 6-page document, which is the draft that people are going to be commenting on. And my initial reaction was really, it made me smile, and it made me think, wow, this sounds so familiar to me. And the reason it sounds familiar to me is it includes an awful lot of the same skill sets and competency areas that we defined when a group of us got together to lay out the Penn State MGIS program. Now, having said that, yes, we need to point back to the fact that David DiBiase, who now works at ESRI, was the head of that program. And another person who was participating in this competency model, Pat Keneally, is also a faculty member at Penn State in that same program. And there's a couple of other names that are very familiar who were on that original advisory committee. I'm not sure if that's anything we need to worry about. These are all really smart people. And I think what they had to say wasn't specific to the specific program at Penn State. And maybe if they were, that isn't necessarily a bad model for other master's programs. So actually, I was very pleased with the content. I mean, 72 specific skills, that's a lot. And it seemed very comprehensive to me, I have to say.
Yeah, I too, when I took the questionnaire and when I reviewed the document, it really was very comprehensive. And in fact, what I would say was I had a hard time going through the questionnaire and identifying what I would add to either the skills or the competency areas. So I think they've done a great job in identifying the skill sets you would use and then the areas. I think the areas were aligned correctly as well. I guess what I'm going to say and ask is something like this needed? Do we find this in other disciplines and other professions? My opinion is I'm glad they're doing it, and I do think it's needed, but I'll get your opinion on that.
Well, let me go back to the other question you asked, which is it used in other disciplines, other areas? And I don't know. In the list of competency models, are there any other management ones as opposed to worker bee ones, which is the way I think of distinguishing these two?
Yeah, well, I think the task force, as it said in the review, went to suggested competency models that they had in the past, and I think that's what some of the basis was for this model.
Management competency models.
Management competency. Yes, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they some other ones do exist. So let's get back to your original question, which is, do we need this? I think we need this for a couple of reasons. One is it's a great document if you're planning to put together a curriculum with a management focus for geospatial technology. This is where you would start, so far as I'm concerned. In the same way that you might, if you were building a geospatial education program for people doing geospatial, you might start with the GTCM. So that seems to me to be a very valuable thing to have as a starting point. The other real value here, I think, revolves around our challenge as geospatial professionals to build ourselves a profession. And this is another one of those things that we can point to that helps define our profession.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. When I read the model, it brought me back to think about what other industries, and I'm thinking primarily in the private sector, what they do to support management development. Some of the larger companies in the world, the Procter & Gambles, the IBMs, are known for their management programs. And if you're lucky enough to get on a management track, they send you to, they send you far and wide to get you the skills. And it made me think that this is a great start into something that I hope that managers take to heart and follow. Because we don't have anything like this. You're not apt to get sent to a management training program if you're a GIS manager at a city. They don't have enough funds to support the software, let alone sending managers to get trained. So I'm glad that we're taking the time to do this.
And again, it makes sense that ERISA is involved with that, because it is ERISA that put together the Leadership Academy, which is a if you like, a manager training for geospatial professionals.
Right. So, yeah. So, again, hats off to you, Russ. So I really think this is the appropriate exercise for them to be involved in. And as I said before, I hope they encourage others to do that. So let's go to the point of what did you think should be added, if anything, to that skill set, the list of the 74 skills or the 17 management areas? Did you find anything missing?
I got to say, nothing jumped out at me as missing. But I also have to say that I've never really been a manager. I've always been sort of on the other side of that coin. I had somebody who was managing me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that I'm not the right person to even ask about that.
The only thing I could find, and again, I'm not criticizing. I think they did a great job in being very comprehensive. They identified one of the skill areas as communication. And again, from my non-biased opinion pulpit here, I found that one of the things I would like to add with this is skill for communicating with the technology media. I thought that this is one thing that probably, as a very specific area, isn't identified. And I think if you're a manager and you need to talk about what you do, whether you're in a city government or wherever, I think communicating effectively with the technology media is one of those skills I would like to see and I think is highly desirable.
Well, then we're not biased at all. Exactly. As members of the industry media, I wonder if the response would be, well, that falls under number 16, communicate effectively to all sizes and types of audiences.
I think so. And yet, I think there is a heightened awareness of your basic communication skills. If you're doing presentations, fine, and, you know, to a professional audience, I would say the next step there is writing press releases, communicating with a technology, a writer, reporter, editor.
Well, wait, but look at number 15, communicate effectively in all forms, formats, and media.
Yeah, I saw that one specifically. And so I wanted to go a little bit deeper. I didn't know what they meant by media. I assumed that meant social networks, and maybe that's one of the things that should be specified specifically.
I actually understood that differently. I understood that to mean audio, video, text.
Yeah, yeah, and I would take it a step further, and I would say, you know what, in today's day and age, you better effectively communicate in social media too.
Okay, well, and this is where things get a little bit dicey, because how specific? I mean, we already have 70 odd skills here. How finely do we want to define them?
Right. And you know what? I'm nitpicking. So I'm going to admit that right up front.
I appreciate that you're saying that. And again, this document or something like it is going to go into the hands of a manager or somebody building a curriculum. And they're going to define, they're going to use these as guides to define what exactly those skills are. And guess what? Those skills are going to change over time.
Yeah. So you know, having said that, I think both you and I have recognized that this is an excellently prepared document. And if you have to nitpick to find something, you're probably looking too hard. So I'm going to compliment the folks that put this together. The only last thing I would ask you is, would you suggest anyone else to be added to the panel of experts?
Wow. I looked down the list and I know a lot of those people. I really didn't feel as though any other corner needed to be represented. I did not feel strongly that some perspective was missing.
Yeah, again, from my perspective, it's a minor complaint or suggestion. Is I didn't see any managers from private companies, and I don't mean the consultants on the task force, but the people who are GIS managers at organizations that heavily utilize technology, the utilities, the transportation companies, a company like CSX or Union Pacific, or someone from a retailer or bank, or maybe even an NGO, somebody like that. But to me, that's a minor complaint. I would have to agree with you that the folks on the panel were certainly competent.
And I have to leave the folks on the panel interact with those kinds of companies. And hopefully, folks at those companies will be reviewing this document.
Yeah, and I assume that Eurysa will do a great job in distributing the document once it's been finalized. So I guess to really wrap up, well done, Eurysa. Go forth and let's get this thing done, as would be my perspective.
The final comment I'd make is that these kinds of lists of management skills tend to be very generic and horizontal, and that's fine. At the higher level, if you read down the 17 areas, they are very generic. But when you start looking at the specific skills with the viewpoint of somebody involved in geospatial, you know that it's not generic. Decision-making and managing a budget is very different in geospatial than it would be in running a farm, for example. So it does get down to those specifics, and I think it does a very good job in doing so.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, provider of GeoMedia and IRDAS Imagine. Dynamically jumpstart your GIS. Discover the power of geography and build a smarter organization with GeoMedia Smart Client. Leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools to streamline your processes and hone your expertise to build a smart GIS. To learn more, visit www.intergraph.com/geospatial.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to point you to our 2012 Location Intelligence Conference and the Oracle Spatial Users Conference, a combined event. Two great events, one great location in Washington, D.C., this May 22nd and 23rd. The complete agenda for both events is now online. Please go to locationintelligence.net.
And if you're looking for news on the go, we are pleased to announce that we now have a mobile specific website. If you just point your browser to www.directionsmag.com, you'll be able to read all of our articles.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.